We looked at a story last week that we're going to return to, and in the passage that we have for this morning, there's a good summary of the events of what happened. To make a long story short, the Apostle Peter was called to go and bring the gospel to people who were not Jews. And it's a big transition for him. It's a big moment for him because in many ways, he had all sorts of prejudices against people who were not Jewish being included in the gospel, being included in what Jesus had come to bring, his salvation to the world. And so Peter is troubled by these events and having a difficult time with it. But nevertheless, he has heard from God. He's heard from God. God has spoken to him clear as a bell. And he knows that something must be done about it. And now he, as the leader of the church, has a responsibility to lead others through that transition as well. And so that's what we're going to find in this passage. And I want to pull something very, very specific from it. But in Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18 is where we are. I'm going to read this, and then I'll get into our theme for this morning. But the apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that Gentiles had also received the word of God. And so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers, those are the Jews and the Jewish converts, criticized him. And they said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them?" And I didn't overstate last week that in many ways, the Jewish people had developed a prejudice, to put it lightly, and maybe even full-throated racism towards Gentiles. They were not included in God's plan, and so they were struggling with this. You know, you could see the kind of intensity in this. "You ate with uncircumcised men?" And he says, starting from the beginning, Peter told them the story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds, all things that were forbidden under the law to eat. And then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' And I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' And the voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me." These were these other guys from Joppa. He said, "And we entered the house, the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them as he had come upon us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift that he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" And when they heard this, they had no further objections, and they praised God, saying, "So then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." I want to focus on a couple of things that led up to these events in this story happening. First of all, this is huge. This transition here, because Peter was able to hear from God about God's plans and what he wanted to do through the message of the gospel, because Peter had practiced that habit and honed the art of listening for the voice of God, and he heard from God clearly, you and I have heard the gospel. This church exists today because of what Peter heard that day. That's where the gospel went. I mean, it was confined to the Jewish community, and now it has gone throughout the entire world because of this moment where Peter hears, where God instructs, and it didn't come without resistance. It didn't come without criticism. It was a huge transition, and yet Peter had the confidence and the boldness to say, "I heard the voice of God. I heard it like it was someone speaking to me, and I know this is the way we need to go." And in courage and in boldness, he went in that direction. "How can I," he says, "stand in the way of what God says and what God is doing?" So I want you to to just return to me to last week's text as we look at a couple of instances that happened that set up these events. In Acts 10, verse 9, and also 19 through 20, it's talking about Peter. It says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He had no idea what God was about to unfold to him. He had no indication that this was going to be a huge, momentous event. It was just his habit. It was what he did on a daily basis. Peter went up to the roof to pray because he expected that God wanted to speak to him. He expected that God wanted to impart things to him. And so it says in verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, because God did speak to him, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. You see, he's praying. He's believing that God wants to speak. The Spirit is guiding him and leading him. And then on the other side of this story, Acts 10, verse 30 through 31, it describes Cornelius, who was the Gentile centurion, who was the recipient of the gospel that Peter came to preach. And he says, Cornelius answered, and he was responding to Peter as to what had happened to him. He says, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer, and he has remembered your gifts to the poor. And I just believe as we're looking at this story and as we're understanding the events that led up to it, in the importance of you and I presenting ourselves in a place, having a sense of expectation, a belief, a confidence that God wants to speak, that God wants to guide, that God wants to direct. He wants to lead our lives. He wants us to come to Him and to look to Him for direction each and every day. This is the way of the disciple. This is the way of the Christian. We learn this from Jesus Himself. Peter learned this from Jesus Himself. We see in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It was his habit. Even Jesus, even the Son of God, who had received all things from God the Father, knew he needed guidance, knew he needed direction. He was dependent upon the Heavenly Father to lead him in the way that he should go. And so I want to ask you, have you ever asked the question, God, what is your will for my life? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? This might be a sermon for you. Have you ever felt as though you had direction, you had a sense of where you should go, and yet the minute that you departed on that journey, there were all sorts of criticisms, all sorts of oppression that came upon you? Have you ever been through that and just needed the confidence to know that the way that you believe God was leading you was correct? Have you ever found yourself drowning in the opinions of others? Today might be a message for you to be confident, to be emboldened in the things that God has spoken to you, and understanding that He wants to speak to you, and living with expectation each and every day that His voice can be heard, that His direction can be understood. More practically, I want to teach you how to hear the voice of God. And I want to encourage you, I want to inspire you to make a habit of listening and posturing yourself in a position to hear God's voice each and every day. If we want to hear His voice, if we want to have that vision for our lives, if we want to have that sense of guidance and direction, we're going to have to want to hear it. We have got to withdraw in order to hear it, and we've got to wait to hear it. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. But first of all, you got to want to hear it. You got to want to hear the voice of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says this, you will search again for the Lord your God, and if you search for Him with all your heart and soul, you will find Him. We're not going to hear God's voice unless we really, really want to hear God's voice. I'm not saying it's an option. I'm not saying, oh, it might be nice if I had this opportunity. We're not going to hear it unless it's a necessity to us, unless we desire it like we desire to take our next breath, or the food that we eat, or the water that we drink. God doesn't want you to tell you His dream for your life if you're going to debate with him about it, right? If you're going to be like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's something I am into. You know, I don't know if that's my gifts, right? I mean, God's not going to give you the vision for your life if you're just going to kind of sit your hands on it or say, oh, let me think about it. You know, I'm just not really sure that's me. It's got to be a necessity. There's got to be this point of surrender where you say, God, I've got to know. I've got to know why I'm here. I've got to know what it is that you desire me to do. I've got to hear your voice. I've got to have a vision. I tell all my single friends, if at the beginning of your journey in a relationship, you are not madly in love with this person, then find somebody else, right? I mean, if it's that guy or that girl, if you're not madly in love with the person from the beginning, marriage is hard enough and it wears on you long enough that you got to start with something exciting. Start with something meaningful. Start with something that you feel in your chest. I remember when Deborah and I first came together, I couldn't not think about her all day. I wanted to be around her every second of the day. And then 9 months after we had started dating, she moved away to England. And it was like my heart each and every day was like torn open and thrown on the ground and stomped on. You know, I mean, I was aching like in my flesh and my bones. I wanted to be with this woman. I was madly in love. It was that desire, right? It was the sense of I need her in my life. It's got to be like that. You've got to want to hear the voice of God like you want to take that next breath. I mean, it's got to be what you live for, what you desire above and beyond all things. If you're going to hear the voice of God, you got to want it. God wants to come to you and speak. He wants to unfold his vision and his direction in your life. He's got to know you're interested in hearing it. He's got to know it means a whole lot to you. And that's just the way that it is. God wants you to come to him with your whole heart, with your mind focused, with your mind made up, saying, I am going to follow him, and whatever it takes, whatever sacrifice needs to be made, when God speaks, I'm going to do what it is that he has called me to do. I'm going to do what he says. He doesn't want debates. He doesn't want question marks. He wants solid confirmation. This is the voice of God. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to walk in this direction. If we want to hear the voice of God, we've got to want it. We've got to want to hear it. There's got to be that desire there. Secondly, you got to withdraw in order to hear it. You got to withdraw in order to hear it. We already looked at the passage where Jesus withdrew to lonely places in order to quiet his soul, to hear the voice of God. I love what it says in Habakkuk 2 verse 1, it says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to station myself. What does it mean to station yourself before God? It means to stay put. It means I'm not moving. It means I'm going to stay here until God speaks to me. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to sit here until I hear the voice of God. I remember a story that Richard used to tell about a time when he was very desperate to hear God's voice in his life, and he went up to this mountain and he put these stones in a circle, very dramatic, you know, put these stones in a circle, and he said, I'm going to sit in the center of this circle and I'm not going to move, God, until you speak. And he was there from morning until night and he heard nothing. Right? And he was so fed up. He was just like, this is unbelievable. And he takes off and he gets in his car and he goes home. And it was there as he was sitting in his car about to turn the key off that God just spoke to him in this powerful way. He said he melted and he was in tears and he was a mess. And it must have been an incredible thing to leave Richard Vignere in tears. And yet, there he was, you know, committed to hear the voice of God. I may take exception that he actually did leave before he heard the voice of God. But nevertheless, God spoke to him in the midst of that effort. But hurry is the death of prayer. I mean, as citizens of the 21st century, we all feel all kinds of pressure, right? We're in a hurry. We're in a rush. It's just the way that we live in our society. But God's not going to speak to us as we're running out the door. He's not going to speak to us if it's some sort of multitasking situation, right? Okay, I'm watching my kids over here and I'm praying, or I'm driving to work, yet I'm praying, right? God wants your focus time. He wants your mind to be open to the things that He desires to say. Not that it's wrong to pray in your car, that's a wonderful thing, but you need focus time, right? You need time to withdraw and hear the voice of God. We got to slow down. How do you slow down? What's the practical steps to do that? You calm your mind by relaxing your body. You breathe. You breathe in. You just listen to the rhythm of these breaths and you recognize, okay, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm sitting before the presence of God, a God who desires to speak to me. You let the tension melt away. You get quiet to where it's just you and God. Right? These voices and the rush of all the activity that's happening just kind of melts away before the presence of God, and you're there, and the tension is thick, and you can feel the sense of anticipation and expectation. God, speak. Your servant is listening. If we want to hear the voice of God, we've got to withdraw in order to hear it. My wife's love language is quality time. Now, that's what she desires above everything. And when you are a pastor and there's all sorts of activity around that, and when you have four kids in the household that we have, quality time is hard to come by. Let's just say that. It is really difficult. And maybe that's why it is your love language. We're so starved for it, you know. But we need that each and every week. We need some sort of engagement, some sort of quality time to be able to speak and to be able to listen. And what she wants from me is me on the other side of her, you know, looking straight into her eyes, preferably holding her hand and just saying, what do you want to speak? Just draw it out of her soul. You know, what do you want to say? What are you feeling? You know, that's what she wants, right? She wants that quality time. And I so desire to give it to her. And yet it takes an intentional effort, right? I mean, I can't just wing it or expect that it's going to pop up. Oh, wow, we have 2 hours to ourselves. Well, how amazing, right? You got to schedule it. You've got to prioritize it. It's got to become something that you do intentionally. And that's what it is like in spending quality time with God. I don't believe that God is a whole lot different. What He wants is our quality time. What He wants is for us to open our ears and quiet our souls and pay attention. And a lot of times in prayer, we like to speak. We like to pour out and dump all the things that are going on in our hearts. And we like to express to God exactly what is going on and just let Him be, you know, that voice that we just dump all of, you know, gush everything that is coming out. But only a dysfunctional person believes that a conversation is one-sided and they get to talk the whole time, right? And we need to listen, right? We need to speak. We need to pour out our hearts, but we need to stop and we need to listen. Talking with God is like talking with anybody. Right, and if you're a person who dominates the conversation, you're really annoying. Be the person who's listening, right? Be the person who's waiting and allowing them to speak, right? Just the social norms, right, of being a social person. Allow God to speak. He wants to speak. His voice wants to be heard above all others. And we've got to, yes, speak to God. We've got to, yes, relate to God and express to Him all of our feelings, all the things that are going on in our hearts. We've got to wait and hear God's voice and spend time listening, being quiet before Him. And that leads, of course, to my last point. In order to hear the voice of God, you must wait for it. You must wait for it. David mentions three things in particular in the Psalms. He learn and practice the art of waiting to hear the voice of God. And here are three things that he mentions really quite frequently. I probably could have pulled a lot of different psalms for these points. But first he says, wait quietly. He says, let all that I am wait quietly before God because my hope is in Him. Why quietly? Because sometimes our speaking needs to come to an end. Wait quietly. Be patient for Him. Second, one is wait patiently. It says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. There are some times when I think There's preparation that needs to be done in our hearts and our spirits in order to even hear the words that God desires to say. We have to be patient. We have to wait in the presence of God. And I think my favorite of these is just wait expectantly. David says, I wait expectantly, trusting God to help, for he has promised. There is an expectation, a faith that comes along. When we are before the presence of God, when we're recognizing that he desires to speak to us each and every day, we have to believe he's going to speak. He's going to meet with me. He has promised. This is the way of disciples who have gone before me thousands of years. This is the way of Jesus himself. He believed that God would speak. He expected God to speak. And in that position of faith, God spoke. Wait patiently. Wait expectantly. Wait quietly. These are principles that we need to apply if we want to hear from God. God wants us to expect that he is going to give us the dream for our life, the vision for our life. He wants us to have that kind of an attitude. We would just say, God, I believe that you want to impart to me your dream for my life. And there's nothing, a greater priority, there's nothing more important than hearing God's dream for our life and having the confidence and the boldness of him reminding us each and every day of the steps that we need to take and the direction we need to walk as he is leading us. But waiting is the faith factor. Waiting takes faith. Waiting expectantly, it requires faith, a belief, a sense of assurance. God is going to speak. God desires to speak. I love this analogy of birds and flight. And ornithologists, who are study of birds, they say there's three methods of flight for all different types of birds. Flapping, right, is this busy activity. You think the most extreme of these is the hummingbird, which I don't even know if it's technically a bird, but hummingbird, so we're going to go with it. Flapping their wings to keep this constant motion, right? I mean, they're counteracting gravity as they just use their muscles and exert every ounce of energy they have in order to keep them in flight. And then secondly, there's gliding. You know, think seagulls, think even crows. They glide, right, up and down the coast with the coastal winds. They just kind of move around. They don't even necessarily have to flap all the time. Just very few and far between the flap, and they can just coast, you know, on where they are in the sky. And then the third and the most incredible is soaring. Right? Only a few birds have this ability. But, of course, the key bird is eagles. Eagles have this ability to soar. And I remember as a kid in Alaska, I was fishing with my parents in a camping spot we used to go to called Deep Creek. And there were these eagles everywhere just feasting on all the fish that came in and was cleaned, and you know, the guts and everything are hanging out on the beach, and the eagles are eating them. So it was our nation's, you know, bird, and here I'm seeing the worst part of our nation's bird. And yet, one of the things that's so majestic about the eagle is watching them soar, and you would see them, you know, groups of a dozen or so eagles all just kind of spinning around like they were in a typhoon or something like that, but they're just getting higher and higher and higher. And there were some that were just so high, you could barely see them, just a speck, right? And they just circle around, just soaring, just allowing the winds, allowing the angle of their wings just to boost them at incredible speeds and incredible heights. They grab these currents of warm air and it just takes them soaring through the sky. And it reminds me, of course, of this passage in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. In the King James Version, it says it the way that I've always remembered it. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We used to sing a song that would just add a refrain, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. I know that waiting sometimes can feel, it's a very submissive act. It's a very humbling act. If you're waiting in a queue at the DMV, right, you feel as though you are less than, right? They've just reduced you to a number, right? And that's the way it feels. But waiting on the Lord, there is nothing more affirming. There is nothing that boosts your confidence. There is nothing that gives you a sense of your value and your identity in this life than waiting on the Lord. We renew our strength. We mount up with wings on eagles as he carries us. If we're running and we are weary, God gives us the energy that we need to walk that hard road, to persevere, to move in the direction of the things that God desires us to do. If we want to be those kind of people who have that perseverance, who exemplify the life of Jesus Christ, who live in confidence and the boldness of the things that God has said, who have a sense of vision and direction for our lives that comes from the voice of God himself and not anybody else's idea, then we have got to learn to hear the voice of God. We got to put into practice this principle. And if we want to hear the voice of God, we got to want to hear it. We got to desire it above anything else in life. We've got to withdraw. We got to quiet the voices and the noise and the activity. Withdraw to hear the voice of God. And we got to wait. We got to be patient. We got to be expectant. We got to believe that God desires to speak. And this morning, I want to inspire you with this, that just as Peter made it his regular habit, just as he had practiced and he had honed the art of listening to the voice of God, so you and I have this opportunity today to hone and to practice and to listen to the voice of God. And as those many years ago, Peter heard the voice of God, and it led to a critical transition in the gospel, led to a critical transition in the history of our faith. And what does God want to speak to you today that will have implications generations from now, that will change the world in some way, shape, or form? It will change your life. You never know what day that is going to be. You never know what day he wants to speak. We got to make it a practice daily. Say, God, I want to hear your voice above all others. I want Jesus to be the loudest voice in my life. I want to inspire you with that message today. Let's believe that God wants to speak just as he spoke all these years ago on a regular basis to his disciples. We are his disciples today. We are the ones who have been trusted with the message of the gospel. God wants to use us. God wants to send us out. God wants to bring his word to the nations through us. Let's be ready. Let's listen. Let's hear the voice of God. I'm going to pray for you this morning.